And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I've mentioned for a couple of weeks in a row now, Advent is a season that celebrates the coming of the Lord. Advent 1, the coming of the Lord to the holy city. Advent 2, the coming of the Lord in ministry, the baptism of John that starts the ministry of Jesus. Those are wonderful things about the coming of the Lord to serve, to save his people. Advent 3, what a strange gospel lesson, right? Advent seems like it's about the coming of the Lord, the power and the strength of the Lord. And in Advent 3, we hear John the Baptist ask this question: are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Do you hear that? John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a powerful preacher out in the desert telling people, we are headed in the wrong direction. The only solution for us is to repent, to turn around, to go the other direction. And he doesn't mind confronting the Pharisees, the Sadducees, Roman soldiers, say, what should we do? Don't extort people, he says. Lots of people, what shall we do? Share with the one who needs. John has a message of repentance, of turning, of changing who we are. John is the one who says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, right? That John the Baptist. What does he say today? Are you the Christ, or should I look for another? Did you hear it? John is saying that from a place of despair and discouragement. He's been used powerfully by God. He's proclaimed the good news powerfully. He's been a pillar of the faith. He's had many people come to hear him. And he, at this moment, is in a place of doubt, of uncertainty. And he's thinking, did I make a mistake? Right? Several commentators don't want to say that about John. They'll say, John the Baptist is a pillar of the faith. John the Baptist never experienced doubt. Have you ever read that commentary? And every time they say this exact same phrase, I want to think about it for a minute. They'll say, John the Baptist was such a powerful preacher, he could not be in this place of doubt and despair because it's out of his character. I want us to think about that. Ask ourselves, what is human character? You see what I'm saying? We would like to say that everybody has one defining characteristic, and that's what they just like all the time, right? Some people are bold and courageous. They will always be bold and courageous. Some people are forceful speakers for the Lord. They will always be forceful speakers. Some people are faithful servants, and they will never tire of service. Is that human nature? It is not. Human nature wavers. We have our good moments, we have our weak moments. We have our moments of great faith, we have our moments of feeling far from the Lord. We have moments of boldly speaking, we have moments of cowardice. Have you seen people that have been strong for other people for so long, they've grown tired of being strong, right? That's us. How did John get from behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world to Jesus, are you the one, or should I look for someone else? What is it? What is it usually? Circumstances. Circumstances have overwhelmed him. In the desert, surrounded by throngs of listeners, he felt very bold. Where is he now? He's in jail. He's been preaching very boldly. John the Baptist actually preached against the governor. It's one thing to preach against the people. John the Baptist, the governor, he sometimes called himself king, but Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas was a married man. He seduced his own brother's wife, divorced his wife, convinced her to divorce his brother, and they got married. And John said, that's unlawful to do. So when you tell the governor that his marriage is illegitimate, what happens to you? You go to jail. You do not pass go. You do not collect $200. And John, in jail, ask yourself this: what were the conditions in a Roman jail? let's assume that he was not playing Xbox in the afternoon and watching cable TV, right? John had preached that this is the Messiah, and John thought that when the Messiah came, he was going to set all things right. If Jesus is the Lord, everything will go the way I expect it to. Sound familiar? If Jesus reigns, then everything should go the way I expect it to. And sitting in a jail, by the way, we know he's been sitting in jail now for a year. He thinks, this doesn't seem like the kingdom. Here's the challenge. We always know the theology, right? We know it in here. I know the answers. You do too. We know what the Bible says, and we quote it. The Bible says this. What happens? All kinds of things can happen, right? All kinds of things can happen. And it's not weird. It's normal to ask this question that most of us ask. Lord, how did this happen, right? Or why? That's our question. Why? It's a very important text to see how Jesus deals with this, because John, the man of faith, the pillar of faith, the rock, is in jail in doubt and despair, and Jesus does not slam him. So if Advent 1 is Jesus comes to the city, if Advent 2 is Jesus comes in ministry, then this text, I believe, is Jesus comes to the discouraged believer, right? Jesus comes to the discouraged believer. It's important to get, by the way, that John went to Jesus. Where shall we go, right? In the moment of our despair, in the moment of wondering, Lord, what is going on? John could have said, I need the other prisoners to bolster me. John could have said, I need my disciples to bolster me. Sometimes we ask too much of the people around us. John sent messengers to Jesus. That's exactly right, to go to the Savior, right? To go to the one who is indeed the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John sends messengers to Jesus. It's important to get, how does Jesus answer? With Scripture. I always think it's something funny to think about. Jesus is God in the flesh. His very word is the word of God. And Jesus often answers with Bible. Right? Are you the one to come who are not? And Jesus goes to several passages that are all messianic passages from the Old Testament. Jesus says, go and tell John what you hear and see. Always that emphasis on the objectivity of his ministry. Go and tell him what you hear and what you see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have good news to them. Good news preached to them. I always love this, by the way, all those miraculous things. The deaf hearing, the blind seeing. The last thing he lists is that the poor will hear the gospel. That's almost miraculous too, right? We preach sometimes to the more well-healed. And so he's saying it's a miracle that the word is getting out to everybody. And he is quoting Isaiah 29. He's quoting Isaiah 35. And he's quoting Isaiah 61. I want us to look at those passages real quick. Isaiah 29:18. In that day, the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. That whole chapter, the coming of the Lord, the coming of Messiah, what does it say? The deaf will hear, the blind will see. Is Jesus the Messiah? Yes, not because I feel it, because Isaiah 29, right? Important. Isaiah 35, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped, and then shall the lame man leap like a deer. Right? Isaiah 35, this is the era of the Messiah. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Now, those are all wonderful passages. I want us to get this, by the way, the absolute objective truth of Scripture, right? What's human character? It ebbs and flows. It comes and goes, right? Human character does both. What's Scripture? It stands. Scripture is God's objective truth. Whether we feel good or bad today, here's the Word of God. And Jesus says, look at the Word. Now, getting the objectivity of the Word of God, I want us to get this. Jesus quotes Isaiah 61:1, and he leaves off part of the verse. It's funny to know if John picked this up or not. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. rest of the verse, he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Where is John? In jail. Why doesn't Jesus quote that? Will John get out of jail? No. Pretty subtle, but there it is. He sent me to preach good news to the poor. The rest of the chapter says that the Messiah will give deliverance from the prison. And Jesus, in not quoting it, has implied that John will not leave the prison. Why won't he? He's preached against the governor's marriage. The governor's new wife has a daughter, apparently kind of stunning. She danced at a party of the rich and the powerful. And the king, like kings were wont to do in those days, said, ask for anything you want, up to half the kingdom, I'll give it to you. Must have been quite a dance. And what did she ask for? Bring me the head of John the Baptist on a plate. This is the tough thing. The word of God, the word of God is totally objective. It's about life and salvation and forgiveness in Jesus. It does not promise everything will go our way, right? It doesn't say our circumstances will always be great. Although, by the way, for most of us, most of the time, they're pretty good. John, in the will of God, has preached the gospel, been the forerunner of the Christ, will be arrested and executed. As terrible and tragic as that sounds, I always like to bear this in mind. When they separated John's head from his shoulders, literally, where was John next? Heaven, right? We have to bear that in mind. The long view is they can do anything to us, right? They can do anything at all. They can't touch your soul. John was saved, remained saved, and he woke up in heaven. We're promised that, the kingdom to come. Now, having said that, the rest of the passage we read, I'm going to put under the title of words of affirmation, because we need to hear that. The Bible doesn't say life will always be easy, but the Bible does say that Jesus has a way of speaking about his followers. And he always affirms them, right? He doesn't rebuke John. John is in a moment of despair. And Jesus doesn't say, John, how dare you ask that? He says, look at the scriptures. I'm the Messiah. The kingdom has come. And as the disciples start to wander back, he says, what did you go out in the sea? Go into the wilderness to see a reed shaken by the wind? That means somebody who bobs and weaves on it? That's actually what John is doing. And Jesus says, no, that's not what you went to see, because that's not who he really is, right? We ebb and flow. And Jesus says, I get that. But you didn't go out to see that. You didn't go out to see a man dressed in soft clothing either. Poor people wore rough clothing. He said, you didn't go out to see a rich man. You went to see a prophet. And John is a prophet. He's actually Elijah. Not reincarnated, Elijah in spirit, of course. John fulfills Malachi 3. John fulfills Malachi 4. John is the prophet that the prophets have talked about. So this is what I want us to get. Jesus, in affirming his discouraged believer, wants us to hear that wherever we are, Jesus speaks words of affirmation over you too, right? Know that. The word of Christ is a word of forgiveness and restoration, a word of affirmation. So we need to be in the word regularly, but as you're in the word, look for those words of affirmation. Here are some. This chapter was about John specifically, but the Bible says to all of us, I am the good shepherd, I lay down my life for the sheep. See, we need to read that, own that. That's you, right? Sheep of God. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies, who can condemn? Right? That's a word of affirmation for us to claim that. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. I love that passage. That we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. John is in despair and discouragement. He's a child of God. And this is a word of affirmation we hear one day. Well done, good and faithful servant. enter into the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world, right? Did John have his doubts? I think he did. This is why this is in the Bible. If John can doubt, so can we, right? So can we. What kind of stuff? Some people actually struggle in the holidays. God is still your God, right? Jesus is still your Savior. The objective truth is this, wherever we are this morning, the objective truth is that Jesus is the Christ and the Redeemer, and the Word of God remains forever. Amen. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.